is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Live.
You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am. You down with Rappaport? Yes, I am.
You better tune in, IamRappaport.com. Cause every single podcast, you know he drops bombs. I seen him on set, a seasoned vet with true talent. Catch him on his way to CrossFit, rocking the New Balance. He asked me to do the track cause he know I rhyme elite. But I'm just waiting for the Robert De Niro line of the week. Breakfast of Champions, toasted bagel, cream cheese and lox. This is I Am Rappaport, the show never stops. You might catch him out in public, stretching his knees. But if you don't listen to the show, yo, wigger please.
Wigger please.
This is the I Am Rappaport Podcast.
All right, this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Coming live and direct. I'm in here with G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. White Mike, a.k.a. Mr. White Folk. Not folks, folk. Some people still call me Bird. Some people call me Milk. And this is the worldwide phenomenon that is known as the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. For first-time listeners, this is the only non-fact-checking podcast in the world. We created the whole non-fact-checking atmosphere. G Moody is the 2015 Podcast Co-host of the Year. He backed it up becoming the 2016 Podcast Co-host of the Year. And we're going to do the damn thing. This is going to be a mixture. We're going to have an emergency segment with Eli Lake. He's a Bloomberg View columnist. He's also the official, unofficial political correspondent of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. He needs to explain what the fuck is going on with the whole Russia thing. Devin Nunes and Mike Flynn, who asked for immunity. None of these things am I educated and articulate enough to explain. That's why we're bringing in Eli Lake. We are also going to have from Fox Sports 1, Undisputed, Joy Taylor, a day one I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast supporter. She spent her own money, okay? Before we met her, before I did Undisputed, she spent her own hard-earned money and bought herself an original Buttersoft I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirt. She's all I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast for real. And if you want to buy a Buttersoft I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirt, you could do so at districtlines.com/I Am Rappaport. That's districtlines.com/I Am Rappaport. There is a promo code. It'll save you 15% off now. The promo code is Dingo. All the t-shirts are there. The Fantasy Football and Chill, Smash Mouth Fantasy, the G Moody t-shirt, the Loaf Walk t-shirt, the whole collection. But right now it's just me and G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty. Moody, how pumped are you? I'm already sketching out show ideas for the live show coming up. San Francisco, Tuesday, May 9th. Seattle, May 11th. And for the first ever international, out-of-the-country show, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast takes over Vancouver on a Saturday night. It's going to be a fucking nut house in Vancouver, May 13th. I'm sketching out segments, show ideas, my passport, my paperwork. By the way, if you want to get tickets, go to www.iamrappaporttour.com. That's www.iamrappaporttour.com. San Francisco, Tuesday, May 9th. Seattle, Thursday, May 11th. And Vancouver, May 13th. We're meeting and greeting all the people after the show. We don't do that shit where you got to pay to play. We're hanging out. We're taking pics. We're doing it all after the show. We're there to hang out. We're there to give you the show of your life. How are you feeling about this show?
I am looking forward to it. Never been to Frisco. Looking forward to Canada. All the good Seattle. My man Sir Mix-a-Lot all the good stuff, man.
Oh, I didn't realize you've never been to San Francisco. That's, yo, San Francisco is going to bug you out. San Francisco is a unique city. It's not flat. San Francisco is about that hill life. You're going to, yeah. Oh, this is going to be good, man, San Francisco.
I'm going to take some nice flicks. You know that.
I don't know that.
Yeah, you know that.
Like you by like standing on top of a hill. That's not really like a quote unquote nice flick. It's just you standing. Like we got to get you. Like we got to like. I feel like your photography game, because you at one point used to take ill photos. I feel like your photography game is like you're like become like a basic selfie photographer now.
No, I don't do that. Okay. I don't do that. I know how I look. I don't need to take no pictures of myself, B.
Okay. Okay, well, you just said you're going to take some nice flicks. The proof is in the pudding. I haven't seen any nice pics from Austin. and I'm just saying, I'm giving you a compliment because I remember when digital cameras came into the space, late 90s and early 2000s, you were about that photo life, and I think you're getting kind of basic. And I feel like you should go back to your artistic self as a photographer. If you want to take it as a personal attack that I just gave on you, go ahead.
I will show you once we get out to San Francisco, bro.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm pumped for the tour. I'm excited for the tour. And I'm sad about this one thing. Now, we haven't talked about her on the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, but they are calling her in the New York City papers the spitting lady of 77th Street on the East Side.
Damn.
There was an article about the spitting lady of 77th Street last week, and why won't they arrest her? And the news came in this morning that the spinning lady has been arrested. I have seen this woman for years.
Damn.
She's obviously mentally ill, like truly mentally ill. Now, first saw her going to the gym really early in the morning, so there's not a lot of people on the street. I'm talking about like 6:30, you know, on a Saturday. And she makes a noise like this. I'm going to try to do it without blowing out the mic's ear. She does this. I've seen her for years. She goes, "Ha! Ha!" She does that, which is frightening. Damn. Whether it's coming from a woman or a man, and she'll do it. I've always seen her doing it from across the street. It's startling because you're like, "What the fuck?" And apparently, she's been spitting on people. She's nuts. She's crazy. Obviously, she's crazy. I actually, speaking of soft ass t-shirts, there is the Buttersoft New York Psychoanalytical Institute t-shirt. I saw her. I guarantee you she's been in and out of the actual New York Psychoanalytical Institute, which that inspired a t-shirt for us because I've seen her by there. But unfortunately, this woman who they call her Susan, she got arrested. And this type of person, she shouldn't be in jail. Now, obviously, if she's spitting on people, that's not good. They have to do something. But she's definitely mentally ill.
No doubt.
I hope they could figure out what the best way to help this woman is. The spitting lady of the Upper East Side, who I've seen in action. I've never actually seen her spit on people. I've been within feet of her spitting in the street, and her bark, her yell, her cackle that she makes. Again, I'll do it. If you didn't catch it the first time, it's like this: ha, ha. It's startling, especially if you're walking by it and you're not prepared and you don't know that you're walking by Susan, the now infamous spinning lady of 77th Street on the Upper East Side.
Dang.
She's definitely one of a kind. And I want to just jump right into this, Moody, with you. I'm gonna ask Miles Smiles. The podcast producer of the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, along with Jordan Winter. Please cue the sick fuck of the week music. This award is earned, not given. It's called the sick fuck of the week. This guy's really sick. Lock him up.
How could you do it?
Don't let him out.
Damn. Who fucked the dog?
You what?
Who fucked the dog? Why would he fuck the dog? Why would you fuck your girlfriend's dog?
What? Sick fuck.
The sick fuck of the week. It's earned.
Earned.
Not given. You did.
What?
No.
No.
No. No!
Already.
Yeah, I'm going to jump right into this. this guy, I feel like we're going to be talking about him all year. This happened in San Juan, Puerto Rico. A man was sentenced to 7 years in prison for biting the head off his girlfriend's chihuahua. Okay. What the fuck is the matter with you?
Oh, gruesome.
Luis Arroyo. He's going to be locked down for 7 years for punching his girlfriend, which is sick enough.
Yeah.
But that didn't make your pain go away, did it, Mr. Arroyo? No, that wasn't enough to punch your girlfriend. You had to get the dog. He needed this little something too. And you couldn't do something like kick him. You know, the dog lived. No, that wasn't good. You bit the fucking head off of a chihuahua. You sick fuck you.
I never heard of anything like that. That's depraved. But I must say, this is what happens when you treat the animal like a human being, and the guy, it's a culmination. He sees this, he gets fed up, he gets mad, so he takes it out on the dog.
Well, you're making an excuse for this guy? He punched a girlfriend, okay, which is already you're getting locked down. And then he probably would have probably got 4 or 5 years for that. And the judge was like, I'm going to try to keep this fucking sicko in jail for as long as I can. Then he bit the head off of a chihuahua. Do you know how hard that is to do? Do you know how violent? Do you know how graphic and how disturbed you have to be? They didn't say he bit the dog. He bit the head off of the fucking dog. Yeah. So that means chewing and gnawing. I mean, that's way out there. So you, my friend, Luis Arroyo, are the sick fuck of the week. And the fact that G. Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty, is trying to rationalize it, shame on you, G. Moody.
No.
Shame on you, G. Moody.
That's it. He's mad.
He's mad. Keep this fucking guy locked up in a... Keep him locked up there, man.
But in his mind, that'll teach you to treat this...
In his mind, that'll
teach human being.
Not to give little Buster. I think the dog's name was Buster. I may or may not be making that up. Not to give him more attention than you give me. Come on, man. You're bugging.
I guarantee you. That's the sole reason that happened. Guarantee it.
All right. The next thing I want to do before we get Eli Lake on here to break down what the hell's going on as Russia is. Time magazine, quote unquote, this is supposed to be a quote unquote respectable news source, Time magazine. You know Time magazine, G. Moody?
Yes, yes.
They could suck a D. Go fuck yourself, Time magazine. They did the 50 best podcasts out right now. 50, not 3, not top 5, not 10. 50 best podcast out right now. And guess who they motherfucking forgot? The worldwide phenomenon. Because this is a hipster list. Now, I looked at the list.
Exactly.
There's some good podcasts out there. And there's some good podcasts on the list. But to leave off a top 50 list of podcasts, like Time Magazine, I'm with D. Trump. Fake news.
Yeah.
Fake list.
Sad.
Sad. Hashtag sad. You left us off the list. Hashtag sad.
Yeah, yeah. This is hipster shit, man. They don't know. That's good shit. We better than all them cats anyway. They know what time it is.
Yeah, fuck your list. Hashtag sad. Yeah. What else is popping, G. Moody?
Man, with all this resting shit with the NBA players, you know who started it all, right? Popovich started all this sucker shit.
Mm-hmm.
He started this shit, and I'm sure he kind of regrets it because everybody's doing it, and I'm turning to hockey. I like hockey. These guys are really on some brute shit. It's a great sport. There's no resting. The puck can hit you in your mouth and knock your teeth out, and you don't leave the game.
Mm-hmm.
I like hockey. I can't take these basketball players anymore.
Damn.
We came up. You think Doc would rest? You think Clint Richardson of the 76ers? You think these Andrew Toney? There was no resting. So for me to see that after us growing up in the NBA that we saw with Dominique Wilkins and Bird and all those great teams, and they played harder than these guys today.
Mm.
And no one rested, and the games were energetic and fantastic, and now these guys, every few days, I need rest. So me as a fan, I'm turning to hockey.
Shit, man. The skinny genification is taking its toll on G. Moody. Damn, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's your squad? Like, what's your team? Have you been back to the Garden to watch another hockey game?
Well, my team, of course, I think is the New York Rangers, right? I'm still kind of see what team I should rock with.
Oh, you're going to be the same way you are in the NBA. You're going to be you're going to just go with the best team, but you haven't fucked with hockey enough to go with the best team. You haven't figured it out yet. You haven't set your sights on a team. Okay, I got you. Go ahead.
I'm still learning. Now, you told me to see a documentary. I checked it out. I thought it was crap. But now I'm going to give you a documentary that you should see. It's called Soul on Ice by my man Kwame Mason. It's about the black hockey players in Canada. It's a marvelous documentary. And I want to give a shout out to all those players, man. That shit really hit me in the heart, that these guys endured so much racism and they still performed and they still kicked ass. So it's Willie O'Ree, Val Adams, the first black American to play in the NHL. He's from Long Island. You know, this shit is not known. A lot of great players in the colored Canadian Hockey League. Yo, I'm really impressed. That's why I'm switching to these guys, man.
And where can we see the doc? How can I see it? You've been talking about this.
It's on iTunes, and I think you can get it in, at Amazon. But it's on iTunes, Soul on Ice. And I want to speak about that documentary you told me to see. That shit was bullshit because here's why. Why is this guy...
Which documentary?
The one you said where the guy is fucking going at trying to make the Ku Klux Klan his friends?
Yes.
What the... Listen... I'm going to put this shit and wrap it up. Now, what if you know how the Nazis did a lot of bullshit to Jewish people. What if you saw a Jewish guy going to grovel and beg at the feet for the Nazis to like him? You wouldn't like that. Black people don't want we don't want to be these people's friends. We don't give a fuck. So that wasn't good, man. Like,
I think he's simplifying the doc into saying that that's what it's about. Because I don't think
he did it for 30 years, right? And I'm saying you could have helped your people for that. Fuck them. They don't like you. Does it matter? Does it really matter? You know what I'm saying? That's the mentality that you got to be. White folks validate your existence. You know what I'm saying? That mentality we as black people got to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to see that. Like, yo, this is America. So you have a right to dislike whoever you want. You just can't put your hands on nobody. So let these people do what they do. They're not hurting nothing. Look, and these people tortured black people. Nobody went to jail. And this motherfucker, you want to be friends with? Fuck these motherfuckers, man.
Right.
Yo, you wouldn't do that to the Nazis.
No,
you wouldn't
a good
be a coke. Cozying up to the motherfuckers. When they catch a Nazi in America hiding, he's 95 years old. What do? They put his ass in jail till he dies.
Right.
So there's no difference in us. That's all I'm saying.
All right. So that's your review of Accidental Courtesy. But are you glad you watched it? Because it's provocative, right?
Yeah. But I don't like the way that man is going at that. I know what that is. And like I said, you need white folks to validate your existence. That's the mentality, and I don't like that.
I hear you. You're into hockey. You know what I'm into, Moody?
What, man? What?
Fantasy sports. Okay, I'm into kicking ass. Okay, and the first major golf tournament of 2017 is next week. And to celebrate it, DraftKings is hosting a free fantasy golf tournament for $100,000 in total prizes, okay? $100,000 in total prizes are up for grabs. Whether you live and breathe golf or you're looking to try some new fantasy sports now that football's over, 1 week fantasy golf is at DraftKings right now, and it's for you. I'm playing. I need that fantasy pang, okay? I know nothing about golf, but if you want to step... Okay? If you want to step onto a par 6 or a par 3, step on the greens with me, the Gringo Mandingo, you could do it. Fantasy golf is easy to play. Just pick six golfers before the tournament tees off next Thursday. Then just sit back and follow the action. Rack up the points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition and win. Outscore me and try to win. Get free entry in the $100,000 golf tournament, golf's first major tournament. Use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. That's Rappaport to play for free for your share of 100K in total prizes only at DraftKings.com. Step onto the greens with me, the Gringo Mandingo, at DraftKings.com for some fantasy golf.
Fantasy golf, damn.
I'm going to kick some ass. You want to get in on this, G Moody?
Yeah, man, I'll try. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, let's kick some ass, man. It's all about kicking ass.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yo, there's a dude who was arrested, a Texas man, a quote-unquote ex-gangbanger. Now, I know we're not supposed to have prejudices or preconceived notions. This guy has his entire face is tattooed. He's an quote-unquote ex-gangbanger. He looks frightening. He looks scary. Ooh. His whole face is tattooed. He got all kind of shit on his face. He's put in jail for 15 years for beating his pregnant girlfriend, attacking her, all this craziness. And obviously, I don't condone that anyway, and I try not to be prejudiced. Now, there's a lot of people now that have tattoos on their face, okay? But why don't we ever see people with full facial tattoos like, I don't know, saving the animals, helping children? It always seems like it ends bad for the guys with the full face tattoos. Am I wrong for saying that, G Moody? Have you ever seen like a man or a woman with full face tattoos that's like teacher of the year?
Hell no. Yo, those guys, to do that takes a certain mental illness, man. The whole face?
It's insane.
Yeah. What the hell is that?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. All right, right now I'm about to call up Joy Taylor. Okay, Joy Taylor, she's the mediator. She's the referee. She's the participant on Undisputed with Skip and Shannon on FS1. She used to be on 790 AM, The Ticket in Miami. She's about that fantasy football life. She's about her sports. Her brother is Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame football player. She knows her sports. I've talked to her before. I've been on her shows. She talks a lot of shit on Instagram. Talks a lot of shit on Facebook Live about the NBA and NFL, and I'm going to call her up right now for her first ever appearance on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. She's a big fan of the show. I'm a big fan of hers, and here we go with Joy Taylor. All right, this is the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, and I got Joy Taylor on the phone, who is a fan of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, who actually bought with her hard-earned money at one point an OG Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast t-shirt. So we got to send you, because you've been so supportive of the podcast, so I got to send you an entire Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast t-shirt collection. All right, so I got to get your address and information and send you the entire soft-ass Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast t-shirt collection, because you've been supportive of the podcast. And we're fans of yours. I'm a fan of yours. I remember talking to you when you were on the radio in Miami. What is it called? The Ticket, right?
Yes. I'm very excited. I'm getting a whole soft-ass tee collection.
Oh, that's amazing. And the entire soft-ass t-shirt catalog. Please only refer to it as a catalog. It is a collection of t-shirts, but it sounds like more important and more sort of a fancy if you call it a catalog. So you're getting a catalog of soft-ass t-shirts, which I guess could be called a collection. So I'm glad to have you on the podcast. You know, it's always like a sausage soup. It's always a lot of dudes here. you know. so it's good to have you on here. You know, because it's usually like a sword festival. So the first thing I want to ask you, Joy, and I want to hear your opinion on this, is about Adam Silver, who the other day came out. I don't know what prompted him. Maybe he just made the announcement, or it was, he was asked, but he said that, you know, he's looking forward to and hopes to have a female coach in the NBA soon, which is obviously a good thing to aspire to. I have my personal feelings on it, which I want to share with you after I hear yours. So I wanted to hear what you think of that. You're so familiar with sports. You know, I just want to, you know, remind the people that, you know, your brother is Jason Taylor, Hall of Fame football player. You know what's up with sports. You're not just a pretty face. You're not just the referee on Fox Sports 1 with Skip and Shannon. So you know your shit. So I want to hear what you think of that and the realities of that, because you know athletes. Your brother is Jason Taylor. Now, you know, he was. I feel like Jason Taylor is a respectful dude, but you know athletes, you know the politics of sports, you know the ins and outs of sports, you get it. So what is your feeling on that? Do you think it's realistic? Do you think it'll ever actually happen?
I definitely think it will happen. I think of all of the major sports, it's going to happen in the NBA first. You know, Jen Welter, she's a friend of mine. She worked as an assistant for the Cardinals under Bruce Arians first season. But I think the NBA, just the way that the league is, it's progressive. Adam Silver is super progressive, and it just makes the most sense because it's basketball. Women play basketball and men play basketball and men coach women's basketball already.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the easiest transition. Becky Hammond is, you know, working as an assistant under Popovich right now.
Yep.
Nancy Lieberman, you know, working for the Kings. So, you know, they're taking the same steps that male coaches have taken to get to that position. So, the most like logical resistance to it is, you know, they need to earn it. You know, like you have to have somebody who's qualified, which I agree with. You don't want to put a woman in that position who's not qualified or doesn't know what she's doing, because she's going to fail. And then it's going to be forever again before that can happen. So, of course, you want somebody to come up the ranks, learn the systems, learn how things are done, earn the respect of the players before they get that position. So when Adam Silver says he wants to like help facilitate that, or, you know, he wants to ensure that that happens, people take that as like, oh, okay, he's just going to give her, he's just going to make a team hire a coach that's a woman.
Right.
Which we obviously know that's not, we're talking about billionaires here. You're not telling them what to do, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But he, like him encouraging that to happen is a different situation. And to me, that doesn't cheapen it. Like we've seen throughout history, you've had to have people, men, like push for progress. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's happened for women, you know, pushing for progress. It's happened for minorities, you know, for LGBT rights. Like people push for the progress of others. That doesn't
right.
cheapen it. That just means that they're woke. Like, that's okay. I appreciate, I've had plenty of men help me throughout my career in a very male-dominated industry. I don't think it, that, like, means I didn't earn my way up. I started as an intern answering phones. It just means they said, oh, this girl's good. I'm going to give her an opportunity. And the fact that she's a girl is just a thing. Like, that makes it even better. Like, maybe that'll bring a little diversity and a different opinion around here. So, males who are threatened by it, to me, it's like, in their mind, like, oh, well, then, you know, it's going to be a bunch of women coaching everything. Like, why would you think that that's how it's now all of a sudden, like, it's just, there's just going to be all female coaches. That's how it works. There's nothing to be afraid of. Like I was on a Twitter rampage last night with all the knuckle draggers, like every different opinion for why it can't work. Like, women aren't tall enough was by far my favorite response. Like, I don't understand.
Was it all men?
Like, Van Gundy's a tall dude? No, I don't understand.
But was it all men that were talking to? As you, I like that term, knuckle draggers. I actually pride myself on being a knuckle dragger. But I wasn't one of the people.
You're actually not a knuckle dragger.
No.
You're like a woke knuckle dragger.
I'm just playing. But were you getting flack from men, or was it women? I'm assuming it was mostly men, right?
I got one girl who was like, you're a liberal and you need to like know your place as a woman. And right. I was like, all right, like, you know, okay. Like, I'm not even gonna get upset about that. That's fine. That's fine. But it was, yeah, it was all men that were pushing back on it.
Cause the thing for me about, you know, I was talking to, Kenyon Martin, who I got a show with, and Marcellus on ESPN about this the other day, is that, you know, like even with the female referees, you know, it's like you can argue with the female referee in the NBA or the NFL, but you're not going to flip the fuck out the same way. I don't care what anybody says. It's yet to happen. Like, you know, I know Chris Paul had his thing with that one referee in the NBA, the woman, but you're not going to go crazy right. just because of the visuals of it.
The flipping out thing to me is like, don't we pay attention when the players flip out of their coaches now? Like when LeBron bumped into Eric Spoelstra, it was the biggest story in sports for like 2 weeks.
Right. So imagine that's a girl.
Bumped into him. So
imagine that's Becky Hammon.
But all I'm saying is like we pay attention to that now. So what difference does it make if it's a girl? Like you're not going to get a woman. In everyone's mind, it's like they picture like their mom or something,
right.
or like their grandma is this woman that's going to coach these, you know, these egotistical millionaire men. And it's like, have you ever met a tough girl before? I'll put a tough girl up against any tough guy. I'm sorry, I will. Like I'm a lady and I'm a professional, but I mean, I'm not afraid of anyone. No one, like, people don't know my story.
Right.
I'm not backing down from anybody. Like, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to go out and get killed or something. But, like, some man yelling at me is not going to intimidate me. I'll let you yell, say what you need to say. And whatever I'm going to say back to you is going to put you in your place in a second anyway. Like, whoever's going to be in that position, not going to be some soft grandma chick that's, like, afraid of getting yelled at or afraid of yelling back if that's her style.
Right.
People look at it like, oh, it's a woman. So she's going to act differently or she's going to treat them differently. I don't understand it. Do you have any female friends? Like, have you ever met a tough woman in your life? They're not worried about that.
I got you. I don't want no trouble, Joy. All right, what is your sport? Are you basketball?
I'm going to get fired up.
Nah, good. I want you fired up. Are you basketball first, football first? Like, what is your, like what is your first, like, your go-to? If you have to pick one, like, what are you the biggest fan of?
I like watching football first, like NFL football. That's my number one. Like I could watch any game. I love the NBA to talk about just because it's so much drama. Like there's nothing like the NBA. It's all year round now, especially with free agency and just the personalities and it being a star driven league. So it's close here and there with NFL and NBA, but I would say NFL first.
Now I know you hosted a fantasy football show. At one point, okay? And as you know, I'm about that fantasy football life, okay? Now,
I do.
Were you just hosting the show, or are you, in fact, also about that fantasy football life? And do you think you want that work? Like, are you think you ready to, like, maybe, you know, like, you know, step into, you know, the monkey cage with me this coming fantasy football season? Because, you know, you could just be a pretty face or maybe you know your stuff. I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not making any accusations, Joy.
I hosted Fantasy Football Today with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard at CBS when I was in Miami before I came to Fox. And I was in three leagues last year. Two I didn't do so well, and one I won. I am about that fantasy football life. I'm not I don't let it hurt me as much. I try not to let it hurt me as much because I just have too much going on. Like I got to pay attention to all the games, like all the storylines. I can't like also be fully dedicated to fantasy football like I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not scared.
Okay.
I'm not scared. I'm not worried.
Okay. So I'm saying like if like week one, I was like, yo, you ready to go heads up? And I'm not a high stakes person. I play for the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Like you're saying you're cool. Like you wouldn't back away from a challenge from me in fantasy football. Like, you're comfortable with that. Like you're ready to go.
I don't even really think you got it like that because didn't you have your son doing the team for a while? And then like,
these are rumors. Listen, these are rumors and accusations. Now
that there's
yes, my son and his friend were running all the football related decisions And you know, as the story goes, you know, they were pushed out of league, and essentially what happened is they created a fantasy football, a knuckle dragger, a true blue fantasy football knuckle dragger. So when you want to talk about knuckle dragon or dragon knuckles, I'm that dude when it comes to fantasy football. Okay, and I don't know. You said you were in three leagues. You got an open invite because I'm getting a whole bunch of fantasy football knuckle draggers, and I'm assuming you're comfortable being a fantasy football, being called a fantasy football knuckle dragger. Maybe if it fits in your schedule, since you're busy doing this and that, you want to step into the Iron Rapport Fantasy Football League. You might be busy. You don't have to commit now.
I would be honored to kick your ass in fantasy football this year.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Now you
be careful
do
what you ask for.
Oh, that's, no,
I'm
not worried about
badly
it.
For you.
No, Joy, listen, I'm not worried about anything when it comes to that work in fantasy football. I'm so ready for it. And the fact that it's only March right now, you know, like I said fantasy football to you, I felt like I had to dust you off. Like, I'm all year round. Okay, I'm already doing duress mock drafts. I'm already preparing. I'm already getting ready. Well, a lot of people are forgetting about it. They're playing tennis. You know, they're playing horseshoes, and they're doing fantasy gymnastics.
So it'll be even that much more disappointing for you when you get that work from someone who's not doing that all the time.
I'm ready to go. Now let me ask you something about the herd. You were on the herd, and now you're doing the Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. Now, I've been on the show. I love the show. I love Skip and Shannon. But are you just like the two of you guys? Because when I'm on there, I say it right to their face. I'm like, you guys, shut up. I'm going to talk now. Do you get frustrated sometimes? You feel like you're not getting to express yourself? And is it just part of the job? And like, how do you deal with that?
No, I mean, Skip and Shannon really respect me. And they know like my background and that, you know, I started as an intern in sports radio and then, you know, worked my way all the way up and hosted a sports radio show. And like that, I'm not just there asking them questions. I actually have the freedom to jump in anytime that I want to, because they both know that I'm not doing that just to interrupt them or show them up or whatever. Like if I interject, it's because I feel like it, what I have to say is going to help the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's not about like expressing myself or anything like that. Like, I want to do a good show.
Right.
And if Skip and Shannon are going at it and it's just boiling up in me that I have to like share this opinion about it, you know, I have outlets. I can do Facebook Live. I can go on, you know, social media and, you know, and talk about it if it's burning up in me that much. But I can talk on the show anytime I want to. For me, I'd rather give a, like, make sure the show is good and that those two get their battle out,
right?
And we do a good show, you know. So that's more important to me. Like, the moderator role, I think people like get confused by it also, because I have to make sure that we do television.
No,
like,
I know.
We have to get to commercials. We got to make sure we plug certain things. We got to, you know, there's a lot going on, and on top of that, I'm listening to everything that they say. I'm not like up there zoning out, because at any time they can just turn to me and ask me a question about what they're talking about, and I got to be involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's basically it's a 2.5 hour show, and I'm engaged in all of it the whole time.
What time do you have to wake up to do Undisputed? Because I know Skip, I was talking to him, like, these guys get up early because the show airs on the East Coast. Like, what's your, like, your normal, you know, day to day when you guys are doing the show, like?
I wake up at 3:20 a.m.
Oh, my God.
On the dot every day.
Whoa, 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 whoa. 3:20 what?
3:20 a.m.
Yo, that's crazy. Like, is this past your bedtime even talking to me for the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast? Like, am I keeping you up? This is insane.
Normally, I get in bed around 8:30.
Now, when you say get in bed,
I get in bed earlier, but
Do you fall asleep though? Like, I mean, because you could get in bed earlier. Like, I get that, but like, has your body been trained already to like, do you fall asleep that early?
Yeah, I'm usually like ready for bed around 8:30, but it's not that bad though. Everybody flips out about how early I have to get up for work, but the show is done at 9 on the West Coast.
Right.
Maybe I'm on the lot for another, you know, hour. Usually not even. So I'm home by like 10:30 every day. I have the whole day.
That's
I want to take a nap. I want to take a 4-hour nap That's what I do.
That's hard. That's really hard body karate. That's nuts, man. 3:30 in the morning is that's really real. What about
you gotta do what you gotta do, man. This is show business.
I hear you.
What we do.
I hear you. There's no business without the show. What about this recurring guest on the on all the talk shows? But he's been on Undisputed, and I don't understand why he keeps coming back on. I don't understand why you guys keep letting him come back on. LeVar Ball, the Lonzo Ball's father, who I've talked about a lot, who obviously has done a great job with his kids. He's obviously, you know, been a very, very active, participating father. And I don't understand why at this point, when his son is about to get drafted, he's not letting it be about Lonzo Ball, and it's become the LeVar Ball with him first and Lonzo Ball, you know, sort of show. Now, I get that Lonzo Ball's quiet, he's low-key and all that stuff, and I know there's a little bit of method to the madness, but, like, what is your impression of him, you know, and I'm sure you've talked to him in between, you know, shows and off-camera and all that stuff. What is your take on his deal, like him specifically? Not even Lonzo as a ball player, just LeVar Ball as a personality.
I'm going to say this before I answer this. I think that, and I like it because I feel like it's a sign of respect, but it does make me giggle because I listen to your podcast. I feel like you don't soften your take, but you present your opinion to me in such a delicate manner. I know I'm very professional, Michael, but I'm not a delicate flower. You can say how you really feel.
Well, you know what it is. First of all, because we're talking on the phone, and because, yeah, you're right. I am being a little softer than I normally am because I'm being, like, you know, having manners and, you know. But if we were doing this face to face, and hopefully the next time I have you on the podcast, I would love to do it face to face, and then we could do phone calls and all that shit. All right, so fuck shit, motherfucker. There you go. All right. So what the fuck is your impression? Here, let me just say that a question again. What the fuck is your impression of LeVar Ball? Because you've heard my stance on him. You see my Instagram, my tweets on him. What is your impression of him? You're there and in person. And obviously, you know, I feel like there's a persona and a character, and there is an agenda that he has. But what is your impression of him? You've been around sports your whole life. You've seen all kind of shit. You know, your brother was a class act in the NFL. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. You probably have so many secrets and stories that I'll squeeze out of you in the upcoming podcast about different incidents in the NFL and the shit that you've been around. What is your impression of LeVar Ball? That's more I Am Rappaport podcast-ish, right?
Yes, that was much more on brand.
All right.
So LeVar Ball, first I want to say, I think his son is amazing. Like, as an actual player, I went to UCLA and watched him play. He's impressive, and I think he is going to have a good career. How good of a career he's going to have is relative now based off of the expectations that his father has put on him and the media responding to his father has reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he was just this kid coming out of UCLA, I think the ceiling would be higher for him because it would be like, whoa, kid's pretty good. And he's like Steph Curry-ish, and he, you know, kind of reminds me of Jason Kidd. And, you know, he's like a great passer and gets everybody involved and, like, unselfish, like, doesn't say a lot. You know, that would be our impression of him that we would make on our own. And then if he was great, we would appreciate that. Now I think it's like, oh, we like Lonzo because he's quiet, he's the opposite of his dad. But now we expect such great things of him, even if we all know in the back of our mind it's unrealistic of him to, you know, win more than 6 championships, or that he's going to come into the league and be better than Steph Curry.
None of that's happening ever.
Who's like, no. Like, he's obviously, Steph's taking a little bit of a brand hit himself, but still back-to-back MVP, one of those being unanimous. Like, Steph's still that dude. Like, we all can relax. We know he's not better than LeBron. You know, he's not better than Westbrook. Like, we know these things, but because his dad is what he is he's naturally polarizing.
Like, Lonzo or the father?
We've met a person. No, his father.
Uh-huh.
LeVar is naturally polarizing. Like, he's obviously got a gift for gab. And usually when people are like that, they naturally pin people on either side.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to be, like, weary of someone that can just talk and talk and talk. Like, they can't figure out, why do you have so much to say? What
mm-hmm.
is this? Like, how does your mind work? I don't have that much to say. It's got to be phony. I do think that this is who he is. Like, I do think it's his personality, and he's just been given a platform now, so it's magnified. Because the way his sons react to him, they're like, yeah, they're too calm about it. Like, they've obviously seen this their entire life.
Right.
And I don't have children, so I don't, like, get in the habit of telling people how to raise their kids. And their kids seem like they're staying out of trouble. And Lonzo, you know, has had a good career and seems to be a good kid and works hard and, like, can't say anything wrong about that. Like, they're, you know, parents that raised three sons and they seem to have a close family. So I'm not hating on any of that. That being said, the reason people get mad at him is because they're paying attention to what he's saying. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in it. Like, even sitting across from him, I'm like, I see why people are losing their minds. They're like, why are you losing your mind? He can believe that. That doesn't mean I have to believe that. Like,
right.
You can sit here and say your son is going to be the greatest player of all time. Like, that's nice of you to say that. I don't believe that. So I can't let people get under my skin when I know, like, what you're saying is something only you believe. Like, I can say anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not reality, mm-hmm. what am I getting upset about? So I get it. I completely understand it. He's been on the show twice, both times. He has that thing about him when you're in his presence. You're like, okay, I can see why everybody wants to have him on the show. Everyone wants to interview him because it just naturally pours out of him. Like,
gotcha.
I don't want to make a ridiculous comparison, but I'm trying to think of someone else, like another sports figure that could just talk and talk and talk and would, like, I don't even want to say it because it's so utterly disrespectful, but, like, I'm not even going to say it.
Don't say it.
I'm not even going to say
Wait,
it.
I know you're not going to say what I think you're going to say. There's no way I think you're going to say what I think you're going to say.
I know how this goes. I'm not even going to say it, but
because maybe you're talking about Boudini Brown. You ain't talking about Muhammad Ali, right?
I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is he has a gift for gab, and
he
got
a gift for gab.
Crazy.
I get that, and you know, it's all cool and all that stuff. The thing for me is like, yo, he could talk. I would love to get on one of these shows or have him on my podcast, and it would have to be face to face, because the thing for me is like, yo, you're setting this kid up. Like, LeBron is going to catch him next year on purpose as many times. His son, not the father, because the father ain't out there playing. And the videotape came out of the father playing. The father has got no skills.
Brutal,
the father's
brutal.
Straight trash. He might have been good. I might have been good. G. Moody, whose last name rhymes with Duty, was actually very good. But all this, I could play Michael Jordan. What do you have to do with the equation is my question. It's like, I could play Charles Barkley. You, my man, you're way past any prime that you may or may not have even had. So what
but
does
Michael,
it
you see what you're doing? You see what you're doing?
I'm easy. Listen.
Like, he's winning.
But no,
he's
no.
He's winning,
see,
right
but,
now.
But Joy.
He's winning.
But Joy, getting me riled up is like, if I'm not riled up, that means that I don't care. And it's like getting me riled
or
up
it
is
means
like.
Or it means that you're having me on the podcast and you're trying to be polite.
No. But I'm saying, like, me getting riled up is not anything anybody should be impressed by. So, like, he's not winning. And it's not like I'm, like, thinking, like, this guy's
no,
like.
No, but I'm saying, like, everything that he's saying, like, he was on the show yesterday with us. And
right, I saw
I forget
it.
If it was Shannon or Skip asked. I think it was Shannon asked him about, you know, you don't really think that you could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one.
He can't beat
he
Shannon Sharp
right
one-on-one.
It, like, yeah, I can't. Well, that's what Shannon said. Shannon was like, you can't beat me one-on-one. And LeVar was like, you would never get anywhere near the hoop.
He can't beat. I put my life savings that he can't beat Shannon Sharp. Huh? Say it again.
Like, I played basketball. I played basketball since from fifth grade all through high school. I haven't played in a year. I can beat LeVar one-on-one. Like, I work out every day. Of course I could beat LeVar one-on-one. I still got the J. It doesn't matter, though. Like, yes, do I think his whole bit is ridiculous, and I think he's setting his son up for failure? 100%. But I also know how this goes. We know how this goes in America. We love building people up into these reality stars. We, like, soak in all their insanity.
Yeah, I don't get
and,
it.
And we just, like, bathe in it and, like, just drain them all, and then they do something, and then we're like, boo, done with you.
I get it.
And then
it.
They, like, travel off into the distance. That's
I get
what's
it.
Happening.
I just don't get, because I see a reality show, and I see all that. I just don't get how somebody who did such a good job, and it's evident that he did such a good job raising these kids, how that's going to, like, now it's the time for you to bask in your glory and sit back. Your work is done. Well, you know, he's got a younger kid, but it's like, yo, like, now chill. Like, don't make it harder for this kid.
I will say though, like, through all his antics and like all the like nonsense about being Michael Jordan, and,
hey, it's
like,
ridiculous.
You know, the fact that he says that, like, the fact, like, no one would have the audacity to say that. You know what I mean? So, like, the fact that he has the audacity to say that is what bothers people. The one thing though, like, where I won't even pretend to defend him on any level. Not that I'm defending him now. I'm just saying, like, this is how I see the whole LeVar phenomenon. The one thing that bothers me to my core, which I do not get, is the whole situation with the high school coach. Like, he talked about it. He talked about it yesterday on the show. And it's you're talking about kids, like children. And like, maybe that's just me being idealistic, but I do think at that level, like, that's where kids go wrong.
What did he say about the high school coach?
In high school, there was like an incident where like the high school kid, or the high school coach, I'm sorry, did an interview with USA Today and talked about an incident after they lost the playoff game, and LeVar like went into the locker room and like pulled the kids all out of their hotel rooms and like gave them a speech about like how he runs Chino Hills and stuff. And like, he didn't have a comment about it. So it's only one side of the story, but like, the problem is LeVar's been on every show talking like this, so it's kind of hard to not believe that. But to me, that's where you lose me. Like, fine talking about your son going into the NBA, gassing him up, fine. Like, talk about your other kid going to UCLA, how he's going to dominate and be one and done, fine. But like, the situation when you're dealing with kids who are in high school, who are learning the game and like learning how to be men,
right,
and you're telling them like they're too good to listen to their high school coach, like, they have literally done absolutely nothing. Like, they haven't even graduated high school.
Right.
So don't, you know, just miss me with the whole thing that, like, your son's created this high school. And, like, that's an entitlement thing that I do not rock with at all. Like, it's entirely what's, like, wrong with society.
Mm-hmm.
I can go on this whole spiel about it, but I won't. But the idea that you think you've earned something when you haven't even graduated high school, miss me with it. You've done absolutely nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. And encouraging that to me is just, it's wrong, really. And like that just pushed me over the edge with it. Like, I don't want to hear about you telling high school kids they don't have to listen to their coach. They do have to listen to their coach.
Yeah,
even if their coach doesn't know what they're talking about, they need to learn respect.
I agree. And that feeds into the skinny genification of the NBA, the skinny genification mm-hmm. of the NFL, and the skinny genification of sport, professional sports in general. All right, Joy, listen, I'm going to let you go. The next time I have you on the podcast, and I hope you'll come back, I'm going to be cursing. I'm going to be offensive. We're going to be face-to-face. I'm going to be interrupting you and be screaming and all that shit. I apologize for toning it down in the beginning. I hope you're not offended by the fact that I didn't say motherfucker, shit, fuck, asshole enough times. I'm gonna be just like rough, rugged, and raw. And I really appreciate you coming on. I hope you come back. I'm sending you a whole bundle of soft ass Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast t-shirts. And you know, I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me. Love the podcast. I'm excited for the t-shirt catalog. And I really miss Simo Netti. The Moody Rhymes with Duty. We got to have him when I come on next time.
All right, definitely.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, Moody. That was Joy Taylor. She said the next time I call her up, I got to talk shit. Said the next time I call her up, it's got to be with G Moody, whose last name rhymes with Duty. You heard her. You heard her ask for you.
Joy Taylor is that beautiful lady.
Yeah, she's dope. And she knows her stuff. Yeah. And she's funny. She got a good sense of humor. And she made me blush by saying that I was like basically being soft. What else you got for me, G Moody, before we call up Eli Lake? With this emergency segment of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast,
I listened to Drake's album, and I just don't, you know, I of course I can't really get into it. I think what happened to the funk? Like, I would be willing to accept anybody if the funk was there. You know what I'm saying? If the beats were hard and then you put some Johnny Mathis shit in the middle that you know you do, but it's just It's a travesty, man. They're making a mockery of this shit, man.
I agree.
You know? And then the mumblers, and it's all over the radio. It turns my fucking stomach, man. The shit that I was raised on that had criteria, like lyrics, dope, Coogee rap, dope. The reason why he's dope is because the lyrical dexterity and the shit he's saying, right? And to see a guy mumbling, it's just sad, man, for me, man. Because I want to give these motherfuckers a chance, but, yo, it got to at least be funky, man.
Yeah, I know,
I,
man.
I don't get... what's the point in gathering records that these guys... they trying to flip the records. They're trying to make the beats, the original records, funkier than they already are. And it's just... I mean, I'm a hip-hop fan, like, and I've been there. I've seen it since the beginning, and I just be like, damn, man. Like, this is some gentrified bullshit, man.
I agree, man. I don't
and
fuck
Kendrick
with it.
Lamar, he's... Kendrick Lamar is good. There's a few cats that try to keep shit funky and try to do shit. There's this dude, Anderson .Paak, I think. He's fantastic.
Yeah, Anderson .Paak, he's guys, ill.
Yeah, they you see, he keeps it funky. You know what I'm saying? So... I don't know, man. This shit is some Little House on the Prairie shit. Like I said before, it doesn't move. I don't know what to say about that, man. Word.
You brought up Cool G Rap. One of his famous songs is "Ain't No Smiling" on Rikers Island.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of reports they want to close Rikers Island down. There's been a lot of write ups and articles and on the abuse. A Rikers Island captain, a female captain at Rikers Island, has been fired. She worked there for 10 years. She's caught freaking off with an inmate. And the inmate, this you got to be dumb to fuck around with an inmate because he's a criminal. See, this chick, she got caught slipping. This is a female captain. Who was caught slipping? She thought that shit was sweet. She thought that she was gonna somehow turn this criminal, into a good guy. See, usually it's the guys that get caught out there by the chicks.
Yeah.
She got played out by the dude.
I know some correction officers, man. Yo, this shit happens, and it's because these women are lonely, and they work in the men's jail. And them brothers be buff, yo, it's a human attraction.
And it's like the workplace. Sometimes, that's her workplace. That's where she works. A lot of romance comes from the workplace. Except for most people's romance in the workplace doesn't come with a criminal. Huh?
I know that shit happens. And yo, man, these brothers be looking like motherfucking Terry Crews in there. And you lonely in your crib every day. And these guys be spitting game at these chicks, man, like flirting, you know what I'm saying? Like seeing to the other inmates if they could bag the captain.
and then homeboy set her up and videotaped it. Now she lost her job. And yeah. I don't know what he gets out of it. I the whole thing is just wild that it happened on the island.
He had a cell phone. How do he get the contraband in the jail? A cell phone in the cell.
I don't know. He might have had it stuffed up his ass. I have no idea.
Speaking of that.
Oh. Yes?
I think a guy had a gun stuffed up his ass and it fell out in the airport.
Yes, that's correct. An Alabama Crimson Tide fam was arrested. He crashed his car into a ditch, got detained, arrested. Busted with a stolen gun that fell out of his asshole. That's a fact. That's a skill set that I've never heard of before. Right. So he's going to be locked down. They need to. Yeah, I don't. They're going to have to like go all up in his gut to find out if he's holding any other contraband. But he had a gun. I hate to be so graphic. Shoved up his ass.
Oh shit.
Yo, Moody. I'm gonna keep it real. If you sleep on a Casper mattress, you're not going to want to get up. That's just real. If you sleep on a Casper mattress, you ain't gonna want to get up. Okay, and nope. and that's probably the only bad thing about a Casper mattress. And I don't want to hear any complaints like, "Yo, I got myself a Casper mattress, Rappaport, and I become lazy and I just love sleeping." Okay, Casper mattresses are comfortable as fuck. Okay. You can try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. The Iron Rapport is proudly sponsored by Casper Mattresses. Okay? Moo, do you sleep on a Casper mattress?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I love it, man. It's some other, it's a different type of feel. I've noticed than the other mattresses I've had in the past. It's different.
I mean, there's over 20,000 reviews online with an average of 4.8 stars. Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. Get a Casper mattress at www.casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport. Get $50 towards any mattress by visiting www.caspermattress/Rappaport. They have sheets. They have pillows. They have doggy mattresses. I sleep on a Casper mattress like a big baby every single night. You're not going to want to get out of bed.
That's for sure.
All right, listen. This is an incredible episode. Now is the emergency segment in this episode. The emergency segment. Eli Lake, we got to get him on the phone. We got to go find out what's going on with this guy Mike Flynn, with this guy Nunez. What's going on with Russia? Here's Eli Lake, the official, unofficial political correspondent of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast.
Oh.
Yo, Eli.
Michael Rappaport, Disco 2.
Yeah. Eli, what's up?
Malachi, what's up, G. Moody?
Good, this, man.
The Malachi brothers are here.
Yeah.
And Eli, we were going to do an emergency podcast, but I'm calling this an emergency segment of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Actually, I have to give this to the people. The fans asked for this. The fans of the podcast said, yo, you need to get the unofficial, official, or official, unofficial political correspondent. So the people asked for it. And here we are with Eli Lake, the one and only official, unofficial political correspondent of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. How are you doing, Eli?
And by the way, we need to get the Disco 2 in D.C.
Oh, you're right. We're going to do an East Coast link.
We got to do that. And we got to have a segment where we do a very D.C. thing and we just break down some classic go-go beats because that's like a D.C. thing.
Yo, it's
the
done.
New York perspective.
It's done. I can't wait to podcast with you with you live face to face.
That would be fun.
We gotta do intros. Chuck Brown.
Yeah. Oh yes. Oh.
Eli knows his stuff, man.
Yeah. Eli knows his shit. He's not one of these hipster fucks who doesn't know his shit but talks slick
That's
about
a
all
DC
his
thing. Look up Chuck Brown live at Howard University.
Yeah, Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers.
Yeah.
All right, that's the record of the week. Look up Chuck Brown, live at Howard University. That's the record of the week by Eli Lake. How are you, Eli?
The swamp, man, is the cherry blossoms are out, but there is a whiff of scandal in the air. The nation's capital going through some shit.
All right, what is going on with Nunez? Who is Nunez? Okay. I'm going to keep it real. This guy wasn't in my psyche. I'll probably have dreams about him tonight. And Mike Flynn offers to testify. He's a turncoat, essentially, for immunity. We've seen this play out time and time, whether it's The Godfather, whether it's All the President's Men, or whether it's Law & Order SVU. What is the latest in Russia? What is the latest with Mike Flynn? Explain it to us. You wrote a really, really good article in Bloomberg that I read before I called you. I broke cardinal rule number one of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. I fact checked, but I would like you to explain it to me, to G Moody, and the listeners in layman's terms.
All right, this is a weird story, but can I just take a step back, because I feel like, just to put it into perspective, there are a number of people after the Trump election who said that Trump is a fascist. He is an authoritarian. He's coming for us, and they're part of the resistance. I'm sure we've all seen that, right?
Yep.
Okay. Let me tell you something. Fascists are not this incompetent. Trump is an amateur. He doesn't know how to do anything. If you look at the health care bill, he's just, if you look at the travel ban or Muslim ban, I consider it a travel ban, but whatever you want to call it, the courts have checked him now 3 times. I'm just saying, as far as presidents go, this is called the honeymoon period. It's supposed to be smooth sailing. Everyone's talking about your agenda. It's the easiest part of your term. And he is, and it feels like 1973 Watergate shit. So I'm just saying, if he's usually, like, authoritarians are good at it. You know what I'm saying? They have their competence. They consolidate power. Trump has been terrible so far at just getting in a position to abuse the power that everybody said he was going to do. So I'm just pointing that out, that, you know, he's not a fascist. He's a golfer. All right. So
His fascist game is not insane.
No, it's not. It's like that's he's like the I'm the permanent, like, you know, like there's a vast permanent government in Washington. There's like a permanent D.C. culture, which everyone always runs against. And I totally understand it. But those people are like taking, I mean, like they're winning right now. The, you know, the establishment versus Donald Trump, the establishment is winning.
Killing his ass.
They're killing it. Yes. And
he's
this
just
is
fucking
where we
messy,
get into
Eli.
Flint.
That's the thing. He's messy. He's tweeting about you. He's tweeting about Snoop Dogg. The thing that I get about Donald Trump, and then I want to let you break this down, is I get somebody who's easy to talk shit and easy to shake his monkey cage. Like, I get that. I'm the same way. I'm easy to, like, rile up. I get that about him. But again, I'm not the fucking president. I'm not even president of the Block Association. I'm not the president of shit. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I've never been the president. I ran for class president in the 5th grade. It was a joke. It was a fucking joke. They knew even at the 5th grade, this guy should not be the president of anything. Okay? And I'm okay with that. But we're talking about Donald Trump here. So what's going to happen in Russia? Who is Devin Nunes? And what is this thing with Mike Flynn asking for immunity to tell his story?
All right. So let's just start with Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn was the first national security advisor for Donald Trump. And after 3 weeks, he resigned after it was leaked that in his conversations with the Russian ambassador, he discussed sanctions against Russia when he had assured his colleagues, including Vice President Mike Pence, that he had not discussed sanctions with Russia. And the context of this, of course, is that the Russians hacked the Democrats. They leaked it out. They used fake news and Twitter bots and all kinds of things to try to influence the election. They did not in any way rig any votes in any voting machines or anything like that. And you can't really say that the Russian, let's call it an influence operation, like, was responsible for Donald Trump's victory, because there are a lot of things that are responsible for Donald Trump's victory, including what a poor candidate Hillary Clinton was. But
and all the white women that voted for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there, like, it was a factor, but it wasn't the deciding factor. And just for what it's worth, if you look at the history of the United States, the CIA has also meddled in foreign elections. But it's fucked up for the Russians to do that to us, and that is an affront. And they did it basically to benefit Trump, even though they're not responsible for Trump's victory.
Yes.
So that's the background. Now, what the Democrats are alleging, and some others are alleging, is that there was collusion, meaning that's a fancy word, but basically that there was some sort of coordination between people affiliated with Trump and Russian intelligence officers to leak out the information that they'd hacked from Democrats, or in some way to use their kind of overt or open and secret methods to try to influence the election. And largely this is like fake news stories, things on Twitter to sort of make to try to make it a higher profile or for social media. And this is in a real gray area, because, you know, no one's really done this to us before, because we didn't have social media until, like, you know, a couple elections ago. So everyone's trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. and that's what's being investigated. Now, there's no evidence that Mike Flynn was part of this coordination with the Russians that has emerged yet. At the same time, though, he did go to a conference at the Russian propaganda station known as RT. He was paid for that. He has said some things during the campaign, not only when he said Hillary should be locked her up, but he has said things that were, like Donald Trump, weird about Russia. At one point, he told the Washington Post that the Russian propaganda station RT was the same as CNN, which is ridiculous. But that said, I've known Mike Flynn as a journalist for some years, and he's not some Russian spy or Russian cutout. And mm-hmm. with people who are implying that, I think that they are smearing him, and that's unfair. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mike Flynn has now offered, before the intelligence committees that are investigating this in Congress, there's also, I should say, an FBI investigation, he said, I'm willing to talk if you give me immunity. So what would Mike Flynn need immunity from? The one thing we can surmise that he would need immunity from is something called the Foreign Agents Registration Act. And that's a law that says that you have to disclose, if you're taking money in some way from a foreign power, that you're representing them. So after he left his last job in the U.S. government, which was at the Defense Intelligence Agency, he started a consulting firm. And I want to say something very clearly right now. In Washington, when you are a senior government official and you retire, often the way that you make your nut, the way that you make your money, is that you work as a consultant or in some ways a lobbyist or an analyst, or in some ways you work with corporations, other governments, various other entities that will pay you lots of money to try to influence or tell them about how Washington works.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Kissinger, you can go through the list, former congressman, everybody does this. It's how people make a lot of money in Washington. And Mike Flynn was doing this too. So he was taking money. Now, this is going to seem complicated, but he was taking money from a Turkish businessman who had some connections to the Turkish government. And he filed under a different law known as the Lobbying Disclosure Act. He did not file under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. I'm not in any way trying to make an excuse for it, because as a journalist who's covered this issue, I got to tell you, I think it's bad that a lot of people do not disclose when they're taking money from foreign governments through things like think tanks or businesses and things like that. But it is something that lots of people in Washington do, and it's a fairly technical violation. But we know that there is probably some sort of violation there for Mike Flynn. And the reason we know that is because after he resigned, he filed under the Foreign Agents Registration Act for his contract with Turkey, which means he was an agent of a foreign power, which is the government of Turkey, while he was the National Security Advisor. And that's pretty bad. But that is not why, as I sort of went before, he resigned. Is that clear enough for everybody? Is that cool?
That makes sense. I'm following you.
Okay. So that's, again, we're talking about a pretty minor thing. And he wouldn't go to jail for that. Usually, people who violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act, even though it's a scary-sounding law, they don't usually go to jail. They usually pay a fine of some kind. So that's what we're talking about. But what we don't know is if there was some other law that he violated. And we also know that the FBI has an open investigation at this point under counterintelligence, which means potentially pretty grave crimes, although they said they have not, you know, that they may or may not be looking at crimes. Which involves, you know, did people in the Trump world or Trump associates in any way have sort of inappropriate contacts or work with the Russians on this influence operation against the election? And that is obviously political kryptonite.
Mm.
So that's something the FBI is doing. And that's that's the only investigation that matters. And just like, remember we were talking about Hillary Clinton and the email server in the FBI, and I said, I'm really worried about the FBI having all this power. Well, guess what? Here's the greatest irony of it all. Hillary's people say that the FBI cost them the election because of their last minute, you know, statement about, you know, oh, we might have to reopen the email stuff. but it may be the FBI that basically gets Donald Trump impeached. So,
damn,
go figure. And so that means the FBI is really powerful. And as we all know, that's not necessarily good either. J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the FBI, and he had his agents basically, you know, run an influence operation against Martin Luther King. Go look it up. It's one of the worst things in, like, you know, modern American history. He did all kinds of stuff. I mean, so that's when the FBI has unfettered power. It's not good for American citizens. Mm-hmm. So we should be wary of that, even if we're also worried about Trump.
That makes sense. And I like that you're being, you know, fair, and you know, you're not, you know, just, you know, that was a fair statement. And because one of the things that's very apparent with all the news and the writers and the media, it's like we've been forced to pick sides, in my opinion, in politics more than ever before. And that's coming from somebody who knows nothing about politics. And I really don't, in terms of, like, you know, historical and all that stuff. But, like, now it's either you're either down with Trump or you're like, fuck Trump. There's no in between, you know. There's no in between. So to finish, you know, this particular thing, and to continue on what we're talking about, what happens next? Who's Devin Nunes, and where do we go from here?
Okay, so Devin Nunes is the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. There are two big investigations in Congress: the one in the House and the one in the Senate. And they're from the intelligence committees. Now, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the leading Democrat and the leading Republican, they get along great. They just had their first hearing. And it looks like the Senate Intelligence Committee is going to be the one that's going to be the way that Congress sort of decides what happened in the election and whether the Trump campaign coordinated or worked with the Russians on that. The House Intelligence Committee is a mess right now. And the reason is because Devin Nunes, who is the chairman of that committee, and I've covered him for a while now, I have to say one of the things I really like about him is that he is somebody who has his own network of sources inside the intelligence community, and he's not someone who just sort of works, you know, hand in hand with the leadership of that community, meaning the director of the CIA, the people who are at the top level. But he's kind of dicking around right now, in my view, in how he has described how he's come across information that showed that the Obama administration had inappropriately surveilled the Donald Trump during the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets in a very sticky area because there's a lot we do not know. So if it turns out there was a lot of intelligence that said that Trump really was in close contact with the Russians, then it was appropriate to keep an eye on them if you're still the president after the election. The transition, by the way, means after the election to the inauguration of Trump.
Right.
But on the other hand, if, like, this is all innuendo and rumor, and I'm going to get back to this point, like, in a little bit, because it's an important thing to say, then it looks like an abuse of the power of the state. You're basically politicizing intelligence. You're spying on your domestic opposition, which is also really scary. So that's another tough thing. And so Devin Nunes has really pursued this. And in the course of doing that, he gave a press conference last week where he announced his new information. He went and briefed the president. And, you know, it became a huge issue. And this is right after the director of the FBI on Monday had testified before the committee and acknowledged there was an ongoing investigation into contacts between the Trump campaign and the Russians. So this has been a major political story, and what we found out in the last few days is that Devin Nunes, in fact, went to the White House where he viewed these computers, and he said he had an intelligence source, which somebody had told me earlier this week, when it turns out that, I mean, you could say these people are intelligence officers, but they work for the National Security Council, which is part of the White House.
Mm.
So he has been caught misleading the public, you could say. And that has been a bad story for him in the last few hours, you could say, and that was what I was writing about. But I would say, in addition to all of that, that the substance of this issue, is it true that there were intelligence reports that went to the White House on the Trump transition, and that was gathered through eavesdropping techniques that the government uses that it's supposed to keep very secret? That's a pretty important issue. that we should also investigate. So there could be many things that are wrong here, and I do think it's the job of the Intelligence Committee to do that kind of oversight. So he was right on the substance, but in his presentation, he screwed it up.
This is a lot, man. What were you going to say, G. Moody?
I have a statement. I want to put a nightcap on this thing, man. I'm thinking this is it for Donald. I'm thinking impeachment, and then there will be riots all over the United States. Watch what I tell you.
Okay, on the riots point, I really want to get the Disco Choose opinion on this. If America had white riots, who would be the national figure to calm those riots?
Ellen.
Ellen DeGeneres will be the person that calms,
you know,
everything down.
If there were a Trump supporter riots, who would you bring out? Brad Paisley?
they're gonna have to get Obama to stop the shit. I don't know. They're gonna have to get who's that country singer? Miley Cyrus's father, Billy Ray Cyrus, or Ellen?
Billy Ray Cyrus would have to get out there, right?
Yeah. You know, they're gonna have to do something. I agree. G, don't pat yourself on the back with the riots. I've thought about that myself. That's not like your prediction. Of Trump's presidency. But Eli, let me ask you a question here. Since G. Moody was one of the first people to say that Trump was going to get elected, should we be running some investigation on G. Moody? Maybe he's had some collusion with the Russians, and that's how he had that intel.
G. Moody's going to have to testify before the House Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, what the fuck did you know, G. Moody? That, you know, you took some trip over to you said I went to Europe, but you never really explained where. So maybe you're involved with this too. Do we have to, you know, check you out to run your papers?
Yeah. I went to St. Petersburg, man. I had got a deal on some vodka, and we made a few deals, so who knows?
Now, Eli, where is this thing going to land? I know you can't predict the future and all this stuff, but, I mean, it feels
I'm not G. Moody.
I'm sorry. Eli,
I'm not the co-host for Damas.
Yes, you're true. That's true. I mean, it feels like to me, if I was a betting man, I would be like, yo, in however many months, it is going to come to an end. I feel like he cheated. I feel like he's dirty. I feel like he thought he was going to come in there and hustle bustle, business and you know, being a businessman is different than being the president. And I think he thought he was going to work this country and work people and take advantage of people and schmooze people and bully people the same way he's done in business. And he's done it great. And people, you know, I do business and that's part of business, but that's not part of being, you know, that's not the actual president on doing it on this level. How is this going to end? I mean, is it going to end where this guy is actually impeached? And if he's impeached, do you think the guy who came up with the term lock her up and all his other fucking bullshit could wind up in actual prison?
Okay. Let me just take a step back here because I think it's a very important point that I feel has been missed, especially because I know that people don't get to follow the news as closely as me. Almost 2 weeks ago, when the director of the FBI testified for the House Intelligence Committee, what I thought he said that was the most important thing was that the Russians, in their cyber hacks, were not careful the way they normally are. And he said it was almost like they wanted to get caught, because if we knew that the Russians had somehow influenced the elections, as Americans, we would go crazy. We would freak out, and it would kind of create the crisis that we're in right now.
Mm.
Because you mentioned before, you're either with the resistance or you're with Trump. And the nation is so divided. And, I'm starting to think that the real Russia operation was to get us obsessed with the idea that they had influenced our election. Because it's making us crazy. And I say this as somebody who was opposed to Trump and thinks there are a lot of problems with his policies. I'm not on politically kind of where Trump is right now, but I'm saying that I think that the end, we might find that. And there may be people kind of peripherally involved with Trump that had a heads up on some of these emails, but I don't think the Republicans hacked the Democrats. I think the Russians did that, and they did it on their own. So I'm just saying the takeaway of this might be that we are acting as the country right now exactly what Vladimir Putin wants us to do, which is to be at each other's throats and to not trust anything and, you know, just impugn the motives of the other side. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you.
And I know that sounds, I know people feel very strongly on this on either side. This is not me trying to split the baby. If you ask me politically, what do you think of most of what Trump wants to do? I'm saying, like, I'm against it. I don't want to necessarily, I'm not anti-immigrant. You know, I can go through the list. I'm just saying that in terms of just my specialty as a national security reporter, if this is a truly, like, devious psychological political operation on the part of the Russians, mission accomplished. You know, the government is at a standstill. The president doesn't really have legitimacy at this point. The country's at each other's throats. Bad.
Mm.
Yeah.
We need some UNITY.
Yeah, we need some UNITY. Cue the Queen Latifah music. All right. Eli, I'm going to let you go. You know all about, like, different news organizations and news magazines and all this stuff. And earlier in the episode, I mentioned that Time magazine, a quote-unquote real news source, a reputable magazine, you know, it's been around forever. These fucks, they put out a list of the 50 best podcasts out right now and had the balls, had the onions, had the audacity to leave off the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast.
That's ridiculous.
The worldwide phenomenon. I mean, should Time magazine be like fake news, hashtag sad?
Time magazine is, like, tired, man. We're in 2017. They didn't have podcasts when Time magazine was the king of the hill.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's
you
what
know
it comes
I mean?
Down
like,
to.
Let them, like, you know, rate the top AM radio shows.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
Everybody knows that I Am Rappaport is the top podcast. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. So hashtag sad, hashtag fake news for you, Time magazine. It came right there from Eli Lake. All right, Eli, you want to add or explain anything else that's going on in politics that you think that you could help keep us informed and keeping us...
I feel like we covered it.
Yes.
We'll set up. I want to do a D.C. thing.
No, we're going to do it.
You got a lot of fans in D.C. You'd be surprised.
We're going to do it.
A lot of people recognize it below. They're like, oh, man, I heard you on I Am Rappaport.
All right.
Oh, wow.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it, Eli. And I appreciate the time. I'm sure, you know, this has probably been, you know, the busiest few months of your career, because it doesn't seem like
it doesn't end.
It doesn't settle. There's no, like, okay. It's every fucking day there's something, it seems like.
Yeah. You can't get a break. Exactly. Yeah.
Even on Saturday, the president is tweeting out some wild shit.
That's exactly right. You expect on the weekend things to, like, just, you know, take a break from politics. They don't have any Sunday shows, but CNN, like, the president's out there making news.
Yeah. Yeah. He's hard body karate. All right.
Yes.
Eli, thank you for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right.
All right. That was Eli Lake, the official, unofficial political correspondent of the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. I want to thank Eli. I want to thank Joy Taylor for coming on the show. She was great. And next time I'm going to make sure to curse her out more and be more volatile. She shamed me for being too polite. San Francisco, Tuesday, May 9th. Seattle, Thursday, May 11th. And in Canada, May 13th, the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast will be in Vancouver. May 13th, all tickets are available at www.iamrapaporttour.com. That's www.iamrapaporttour.com. We're going to go as hard as we possibly can, as we always do when we're on the road. Meet and greet, all that shit after the show. Take pictures, take selfies, and see if G. Moody could take some art flicks. It's the I Am Rapaport Stereo podcast. And we out.